May the Lord help us to commence this evening with hymn 1108. Breathe from the gentle south, O Lord, and cheer me from the north. Blow on the treasures of thy word, and call the spices forth. 1108.
Read together from the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 50, the part of Luke chapter 12. The prophecy of Isaiah chapter 50, and the gospel according to Luke, the part of chapter 12. Thus saith the Lord. Where is the bill of your mother's divorcement, whom I have put away? Which of my creditors is it to whom I have sold you? Behold, for your iniquities have ye sold yourselves, and for your transgressions is your mother put away. Wherefore, when I came, was there no man? When I called, was there none to answer? Is my hand shortened at all, that it cannot redeem? Or have I no power to deliver? Behold, at my rebuke I dry up the sea. I make the rivers a wilderness. Their fish stinketh, because there is no water, and dieth for thirst. I clothe the heavens with blackness, and I make sackcloth their covering. The Lord God hath given me his Christ, the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth morning by morning. He wakeneth mine ear to hear as a learned. The Lord God hath opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. I gave my back to the smiters, and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. For the Lord God will help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. He is near that justifieth me, who will contend with me. Let us stand together. Who is mine adversary? Let him come near to me. Behold, the Lord God will help me. Who is he that shall condemn me? Though they all shall wax old as a garment, the moth shall eat them up. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness, and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord, and stay upon his God. Behold, all ye that kindle a fire, that compass yourselves about with sparks, walk in the light of your fire, in the sparks that ye have kindled, this shall ye have of mine hand. Ye shall lie down in sorrow. We turn to Luke, the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 12. We commence by reading there, verse 27. Consider the lilies, how they grow, they toil not, they spin not. And yet I say unto you, that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothed the grass which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that ye have and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Let your loins be girded about, and your lights burning. And ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord, when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you, that he shall gird himself, and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth to serve them. And if he shall come in the second watch, will come in the third watch, and find them so, blessed are those servants. And this know, that if the good man of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not have suffered his house to be broken through. Be ye therefore ready also. For the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not. Then Peter said unto him, Lord, speakest thou this parable unto us, or even to all? And the Lord said, Who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his Lord shall make ruler of his household, to give them their portion of meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Of a truth I say unto you, that he will make him ruler over all that he hath. But, and if that servant say in his heart, My Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the men servants and maidens, and to eat and drink and to be drunken, the Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him asunder, cut him in sunder, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. And that servant which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. I am come to send fire on the earth, and what will I if it be already kindled? But I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how am I straitened till it be accomplished? Suppose ye that I am come to give peace on the earth, I tell you nay, but rather division. For from henceforth there shall be five in one house, divided three against two, and two against three. The father shall be divided against the son, and the son against the father, the mother against the daughter, and the daughter against the mother, the mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. So we leave the reading there. Amen. O Lord, we do see that mercy of which we read of last evening, Grant us, Lord, that mercy which endureth forever. And thy salvation, may it be granted to us. We read of it so much. May we know it too. That publisheth salvation. That bringeth good times of good. Oh, we pray, Lord, that thou wilt help us to leave this world and the things of it, however lawful, legal, right. But, Lord, we want something more. And pray that thou wilt be with us. And there be, Lord, those waters from the well of Bethlehem. May there be those crumbs of mercy. Grant, O Lord, we may know thy presence. It may be said that the Lord was there. We pray that thou help us, Lord, to come pleading that name of Jesus. Lord, not as one that is equal, but those that are guilty. And pray that thou help us, Lord, to plead the merits of thee, Lord Jesus. And those merits are all for sinners and not for angels. And those merits are the favours of God in the covenant of thy grace. Or may we know that rich favour of thy mercy and thy blessing, thy presence, thy help, Lord, thy that living faith to believe and repentance too. Lord, help us thus to come. Lord, we are so dead, grant us life. We are poor and needy. We would own it and confess it before thee. We pray that thou come, Lord, and be in the singing of thy worthy praises. May there be, Lord, in our hearts that spirit of thankfulness. And help us, Lord, to see some glorious thing to the lifting up of our hearts, that we may record those mercies, temporal and also much more spiritual. Grant us, Lord, that help to be able to bless thee and take our harp and the willows now to the praise of Christ awake. Lord, we pray that thou wilt remember each case and each need. We think of those that are elderly and infirmed, and bring them unto thee, Lord, in our heart's desire. Pray, Lord, that thou would break through the clouds and grant solid comfort and rich blessing. Lord, we pray that thou would sanctify age and infirmity and those many things that attend. That, Lord, do come over it all. And remember the young too and be with them. Those, Lord, that have milestones and much to bless thee for. We pray for those that seek thy face. Pray for those, Lord, that may need thee, especially perhaps younger ones, Lord, who grant the opening of thy hand and the word in season. We pray, Lord, for those that are unable to come and yet are their hearts are even now up to the Lord. We pray in love that thou wilt remember them and grant their heart's desire. And Lord, do help us also to seek for thy blessing to descend from thy word. Lord, it's the power of it and the savour of thy name and the knowledge of Christ. And we pray that thou bless poor needy souls out of the richness of Christ Jesus. And we pray, Lord, for any that may be tempted to go back and feel that there is no door open for such as they, that help them to find the door of thy mercy. Oh, that is always open. Oh, may it sweetly be so. It stands open all day to the poor and the needy, that not by the way. Lord, do grant that open door we read of, that I have set before thee. And Lord, remember, we pray thee, Zion afflicted, like the waves of the sea, wave upon wave. Grant, O Lord, that thou wilt remember Zion, and grant thy healing mercies, and thy gracious touch, and deliver us, and help us, Lord, in the churches, and grant a knowledge of thy word and thy truth to the deliverance by the knowledge of Christ Jesus, who owned the law and spoke so highly of it and fulfilled it in every jot and tittle. And we pray also, Lord, that thou bless the Sabbath school, the young here and Fenstanton. And we pray, Lord, that thou bless young hearts, that thou, Lord, wilt take care of them in this evil day of Antichrist. And we pray much, Lord, that there may be that rich blessing, that there may be those that shall be sweetly brought, Lord, to know thee, perhaps younger in years. But do grant, O Lord, that thou wilt bless thy word abundantly. And remember us, Lord, as we seek for our land, that thou wilt remember us still. The floods have lifted up their waves. The Lord on high is mightier than the waves of the sea, yea, the mighty waves of the sea. Lord, remember us still in our shores. And do help us, Lord, in that right early in these solemn days. And help us, Lord, to come now and seek, Lord, that we may prevail like dear Jacob. He said, I will not let thee go except thou bless me, and he blessed him there. And do help us, Lord, to plough a straight furrow, looking unto Jesus. And grant us that mark, and help us to press toward it. Lord, may it be well with us, and for those that mourn the loss so keenly felt, a pastor, a servant of God, and a loved one. Well, we pray for all the immediate family with much love in our hearts. And pray that thou wilt remember us still, and raise up those that shall be in thy hand, and bless thy word abundantly when we are ministered and brought low. Lord, we pray also that thou wilt help us to see, Lord, that thou wilt come over the mountains. And there may be many mountains between us or surrounding us. And Lord, do grant, oh, that one that comes, often comes, that heaven is irrubbable, and makes mountains into plains. Remember the church and the deacons, and do grant their heart's desire. And we pray, Lord, that thou wilt remember the church and congregation, and each one, and help us, Lord, to seek for Zion's true peace and real prosperity where Jesus reigns alone. We desire to fall into thy hands. Seek, Lord, that thou art come. Remember us now. forgive all sin and unworthiness. Run to save his blood. Remember us, Lord, for good, for Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn 387. How sweet to wait upon the Lord while he fulfills his gracious word, to seek his face and not in vain, to be beloved and love again. 387.
Thank you.
the Lord may help me, I'll direct you to the word that returns upon my spirit in the book of the prophecy of Micah. The word of the Lord that came to Micah. Micah chapter 2. We read there from verse 7. Micah chapter 2, verse 7. O thou that art named the house of Jacob, is the Spirit of the Lord straitened? Are these his doings? Do not my words do good to him that walketh uprightly? Micah chapter 2, verse 7. May seem an unusual text. We have learned not to turn away from the Lord that may be pleased to grant his word by the foolishness of preaching. I desire to speak, firstly, noticing how the Lord sent his servant in that particular way to the people. And the first consideration is this, that the Lord sent the word to correct and to chasten, to reveal those things that he saw and knew. It is a word, firstly, to notice the Lord's eye is upon the house of Jacob. May we know it, both in correction if it is needful, and especially in the sweetness of the word of the Lord in the gospel. The Lord often speaks to his people as the of his people as the house of Jacob. But the God of Jacob, Jacob's sons and daughters too. It seems a very sweet word because the Lord's people are like Jacob by nature, and yet God had rich mercy. Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. These sons of Jacob are really those sons and daughters of the Almighty. Once they were not, except by electing purposes. And then they're brought like Jacob to be quickened into life. They have to set up their pillar. And the Lord meets them as he did Jacob of old. And when the Lord meets a sinner, friends, there's something done. O thou that art named the house of Jacob. But we notice that the Lord, and we do seek to be right, friends, not to just avoid the word where it's necessary to notice that the Lord has a controversy or a word in those days. Of course, there are some very sweet parts of this book, isn't it? About the Lord himself. And this man shall be the peace. And the Assyrian shall come into our land. He shall stand and feed in the strength of the Lord God, in the strength of the Lord in the majesty. The name of the Lord his God, and they shall abide. For now shall he be great, and to the ends of the earth, and this man shall be the peace. Many sweet parts, and yet we notice the Lord, as it were, comes in a very solemn way, and I take it to myself, and searches the heart And what does he say but guilt and sin? Ruin. Unworthiness. Yet he remembers mercy still. I was thinking on my way along the road that man is so wretched and undone, isn't he? Because he was made in the image of Christ. Worse than the devil is a fallen angel. The sons of Jacob and daughters too, friends, have fell grievously from their Maker in every way, in every view. They're rebels of the highest order, aren't they? If we may use that expression. Now, do we feel it sometimes? Would to God there was more knowledge of sin and what we are in a measure that God may be pleased to grant. Without it, there is not real worship. The Lord speaks in his word sometimes that by way of searching we do not dwell here. We notice in the first part of our text, O thou that art named, the house of Jacob is the spirit of the Lord straightened. Rather, by way of correction that we might see for his sweet mercy and the return of the spirit of the Lord. That's the remedy, friends. God is pleased to reveal only through the sacred, blessed work, merits of the Spirit of God, the third person of the Trinity. Oh, and how wondrous that work. Friends, I do hope there is that love to the Spirit. And that need, I believe I'm right to say that it is the exercise of those that call upon God's name, if I may say so. May the Lord grant those answers of peace. So I want to come to that which lays upon my mind more in the spirit of the gospel and the truth that lays experimentally in the word here. It is a word, isn't it, that speaks of the house of Jacob. Well, perhaps there's some sweet encouragement there. But the Lord still speaks, still remembers his dear people. Thou that art named the house of Jacob, is the spirit of the Lord straightened. So I desire to come and speak these words in the spirit and truth of the gospel. And we read here, is the spirit of the Lord straightened. In the scripture we notice, we have done in the readings, that it speaks of the two ways. Being straightened in the gospel here, that the Lord is straight until it be accomplished. He's constrained. As we read in that part of the word here. And I just want to touch upon it before we come a little further. But I have a baptism. What does it mean this evening? To be baptized with. How am I straightened? Constrained. What love's constraint was upon the dear Redeemer. His Father's ways and the things which glorified his holy name, and also with regard to his church, How am I straight until it be accomplished? Perhaps that's what some of you need the seeing of the Lord to accomplish. His word, and I want to come to it. Of course, the other application, a rendering of being straightened, is can be applied to, is the Lord's hand shortened? But it's not, is it? We notice in the 50th chapter of Isaiah, and I want to come very quickly, a very sacred part of God's word, the prophecy of Isaiah. Now may the Lord direct us for a moment to the truth contained in our text regarding the Lord that is not not pleased to leave his people, but accomplish his will and purpose. Wherefore, when I came, was there no man? When I called, was there none to answer? Is my hand shortened at all? That it cannot redeem? Or have I no power to deliver? As it reaches right into the prison house, isn't it? And those that look and wait upon the Lord, we read of those that waited for redemption in Israel. Perhaps there's some like that this evening. Well, have I no power to deliver? Behold, at my rebuke I dry up the sea. It speaks, doesn't it? The greatness, majesty, glory, holiness of the Lord, but his sweet Redeemer, isn't he? His people. That's where his glory is. Above the glory in all things, the redemption of his people. And that is the sweet glory of the gospel. May we know something of it. Now I want to speak experimentally. O thou, searched out, perhaps brought to seek the Lord, and there may be many temptations. Many. What is the word of the Lord? Seek ye me in vain? O thou that art named or among the house of Jacob, perhaps the least, is the Spirit of the Lord straightened? Friends, what a solemn thing if it was so. It was insufficient. If there was no power, the Lord, friends, is not short, is he? Some of us have proved it in material things. How much more with regard to our souls and the Lord's dealings with our poor souls, enmity to him. How his sweet spirit still prevails. Still the Lord will accomplish his holy sovereign will. It doesn't need man's hand. It's good to be in the hand of God. But, friends, that's what I want to speak, that sufficiency, which is with God, by his Spirit. He's not shortened at all, is he? I mean, his hand is not shortened, but it cannot save. May it be a sweet encouragement. You know, it's to the house of Jacob, a blessed with a little faith in their hearts, to believe, perhaps, there are many cries about it, Lord, increase our faith. Well, this is the word that returns from my spirit. Is the Spirit of the Lord straightened? Are these is doing. So it speaks not only of that blessed revelation that the Lord is able and is pleased to hear the poor broken down sinner's cry. Now when God touches the heart, friends, there'll be that prayer unto the Spirit. Not as if we know how to pray, but the indicting which God indicts in the heart is of the Holy Spirit. And his Spirit is not straitened. May it be a sweet encouragement. Not straitened at all. It's our sin and guilt. And we need much grace to acknowledge it, to feel it. For the return of the Spirit, the Lord to bring that mercy of God and to grant it for our sin and guilt and the blackness and the despair and the hardness, the solemn condition of those that can't really say anything at all, but they would indeed look unto him, if so be, there may be hope. Well, bless God, friends, in the spirit of the gospel, these words speak of him that works the work of God. Convince us of our sin and lead to Jesus' blood. And to our wondering view reveal the secret love of God. If I may say, that's the difference between free will and free grace. The Spirit of God that moves the heart. We remember that text. Moving the hearts like the wind in the mulberry trees. Or how we need the life and the power and truth of the Spirit's work. But certainly in this solemn day we do. And then there's something else. Lays in my heart. And it's this. We must maintain the need for a God-given knowledge and revelation of the Scripture. The point is this. We do not well if we turn away from the written Word of God. The house of Jacob, friends, are brought to the book. And God doesn't grant an application in a way before we are brought to consider the precepts. Those that are in the house of Jacob are called by God's grace. They have to learn this. They need their hearts illuminated. Let me put it like this. We need the Spirit to grant us the understanding of the precepts. We need the Spirit of the Lord especially to grant the application, the promise, the especial knowledge of Christ. Now, I want to be ever so clear about it, friends. We do not preach a legal gospel, but we have to maintain there is need for the Lord to open his word in precepts to our understanding. Perhaps it's a word to those that teach the young. The Lord bless them. These precepts can be put to one side. Let me give you an illustration of what I mean. I want to hasten. we may come to a day when it is not full sunshine, that we don't say in our hearts, do we? Well, we need God to prove there's a sun in the heavens. We need to wait until the clouds are lifted up. And the precepts are these to walk in until God may reveal. Now keep to the word, friends. Now, some may say, well, it doesn't sound quite what we used to. Friends, let me say this. We need the Lord to grant us the precepts in our heart. You read the 119th Psalm. How the psalmist David speaks of the precepts that he loved. Why? Because Christ was the author of them. But then there is here a little and there a little. And these precepts must be preached. If we're not careful, we can think we need a revelation even to receive the written word of God. Now be careful. We need illuminating. We need to be kept very close. Christ and his word are one. You may wonder that I'm so bold about that. Because we don't want excesses. We don't want fanciful interpretations that are off the mark. We need the precepts. God grant them in our hearts and understanding. And we certainly need the application, the promises, and the favour which God is pleased to give in his word, not outside of it. By his word, Christ through the lattice. And now the precepts, very needful. Of course, there are some that are very legal. Certainly some Presbyterians are. There's a very hard line, not much feeling, but they're not all like that. But the point is this, friend. The Lord grant us his Spirit to walk by his word, by his grace, and to love the precept. Still need the Lord to apply them, but to be amongst those that love his word. How love I thy law? There is precepts. Now the Lord be the author of it. Let us not turn aside from it. But I want to hasten. Is the Spirit of the Lord straightened? Are these his doings? Well, friends, this house of Jacob, they do need his doings. Something else they need is going. Do thou for me. The word speaks, doesn't it? Of living faith. It's need the Lord's doings for them and in them too. That's what faith wants, desires. It's the nature of faith. The Lord's doings. The Lord to come. The Lord to work, and who shall let it? His doings, friends, are sacred, especially in the lives of poor, guilty sinners. And he puts his hand and brings back a poor, lost sinner. It's all his doings, isn't it, from first to last. We have to learn it. We haven't got a single thought that's good. And oh, these doings, you know, belonging to him by his Spirit. The Lord grant it. Then there's a question about it. Are these his doing? Perhaps there's some very exercised about it. I know not. Oh, that we might have something proved tonight. These are his doing. And not our own. That he, that we read solemn things, don't we, of those sparks of man's own kindling. What an exercise there may be in hearts this evening. Am I his? or am I not? Are these his doing? I think perhaps of the exercise of the church. Are these his doing? His doings are his leadings. Friends, they are particular leadings. They've got a stamp upon them, a mark upon them. Are these his doings? And I think of it experimentally. Those that feel to need his dealing, the Lord to deal with them, to remember them with the favour that he bears unto his people, to visit them, his salvation, his doings. Friends, how needful. The Lord to be the author of all that is of his concerning his glory and his church. Dealings really of God, friends, are very sacred. When the Lord begins to reveal his will, that there are those tokens of his dealing. I want to be very faithful this evening. These are his doings. Friends, do you need his doings? The Lord to grant you some special token or seal upon something. Are these his doings? We know we do well to think upon this text with regard to the things of God. Are these his doings? We don't want to be like the horse that rushes into battle. Best it is to lay it before the Lord. Are these his doings? We notice in the text, are these his doings? Do not my words do good to him that walketh uprightly? And then there are his goings. I'll just touch upon that. His goings in the sanctuary. Oh, friends, there's a sacred mark, isn't there? His goings are by his Spirit. It's what we need, the Lord to go before us. His goings in the sanctuary and to grant that seal upon all that is entered into. Those things that are an exercise of mind. And his goings, friends, are what the Lord may accomplish. But I want to come a little further. There's something that lays in our text which is very sacred. Do not my words do good to him that walketh uprightly. My words. Well, we need his word. I've touched upon a certain thought this evening, but I want to look at it in another way. Friends, it's good, isn't it, when the Lord grants a word. Now, we read of Elijah. The Lord was not in the wind, nor the earthquake, nor the fire. The Lord was in the still, small voice. He was indeed. Because that reached his heart, didn't it? Reached into the way that he was walking in. What doest thou here, Elijah? The tale of woe. And the Lord gave him. And he still does. Friends, that word of the Lord. I hope we've known something of it. It's the word of the Lord that is with power and authority. But it may be a still, small voice. It may seem a contradiction. No, friends. It's what the Lord puts in the heart and it grows. You can take it to the throne of grace and plead it. It returns. dwells in your poor heart as sin dwells, so this word seems to still speak. Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth, said Samuel. Something that God is the author of. Or it may be a word in season. We've read from the word of the Lord. Do not my words do good? No, it's his word, isn't it? Now, we need to speak of it in this way. There is the letter. It's needful. It's good. We need something more. We need the letter closed with power. Now really, it brings us to the resurrection. That the Lord intimated that he would die and rise again. But friends, what hearts could understand it, comprehend it, believe it even? And they came to the tomb and it was empty. What unbelief, just like our hearts. But when the Lord draws near, that's when, friends, the resurrection is felt and known. And it's like that in the Word. It's known. We're brought up rightly. But, friends, is there a word that the Lord has spoken? And so it is. There's a sweet measure of hope that the Lord may grant the increase of it. Speak perhaps through the ministry or in the line of a hymn. Now the word of the Lord will not return to him void. It will accomplish that whereunto it was sent. Oh, how we need, friends, to be very careful about it. I once had my heart fixed on a certain matter, and I felt sure that the Lord was the author of it. Took it to the Lord, I remember it so well. The Lord didn't bring it to pass at all. He gave me something better. And I had to walk in a very dark, dark path. It all seemed to be burnt up. My little religion seemed to be non-existent. And I was brought into an extreme trial and trouble. And the Lord gave me a word through the preaching at the Dicker. Oh, friends, how it met my heart, my case. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. I knew the word, but I had to learn it in a very different way. Friends, under it. And it seemed to put things right. And I had to go home. And friends, I had to plead it for the Lord until he appeared. Oh, and friends, soon the Lord granted more than ever I could think. I'm very circumspect about it. But you know, a good wife cometh from the Lord. No, it's the Lord granted. Friends, his sovereign work, and it cuts across our poor hearts and our thoughts and our exercises even. Well, bless God if it brings us near the Saviour. It brings us humbled under his hand and to seek for his word, his truth to be known, to be magnified, something will separate, and it's in our text, from error, pride, sparks of our own kindling, supposed leadings, things, friends, which have no ground at all. If you notice in this chapter, it speaks very solemnly. We haven't read it, but It speaks of those that plan and scheme and think upon how they will obtain their ends. It's in the chapter. The Lord says, are these his doing? Friends, God will overturn that which seems to prosper, and it is all of flesh. But I want to speak a little here. Do not my words do good? Oh, it's this goodness, isn't it? Oh, goodness to sinners. Oh, that's what we need, that sweet goodness. Perhaps it's a word just comes to my mind. Beautiful hymn. I have to turn it up because of my memory. Though we walk through this wilderness, God's promise is our stay. Stay upon thy God. His goodness, he will make to pass before us in the way. Goodness, no, it's immortal and divine. The bliss of endless day. His good, the Lord our God will make to pass before us in the way. Oh, I would try and speak of this goodness. What is the greatest goodness, friends? It's an interest in his precious blood. Know something of it to our souls, delivering us from sin and guilt. Something is special about it as it reaches the black confines of guilt and despair. Friends, it is a very sacred part, isn't it? The word of the Lord. Do not my words do good? The word of pardon. The word of forgiveness. The hymn writer's got a beautiful word. Oh, what thou wilt, the total sum is cancelled by his death. We do need the Lord to grant us that enlargement and knowledge of it. Now, friends, it's not something cold, something learned in the head, but you know, it fills up. Poor empty vessels. We read in the scripture, bring me yet a vessel. There's not a vessel more, or there was a sufficiency. And that's what the Spirit of God does for us. Fills up a broken down sinners full of guilt and ruin. Convinced that they never shall obtain the blessing. Of course the Lord deals differently with his people. Some are, as it were, brought to the borders of the pit. It's a solemn place. Look to the borders and the pit. My recovering grace. And some the Lord gently leads along. And their poor hearts are so troubled. Because they've got such a peculiar exercise. Convince me rightly of my sin. Lord, deal with me as thou dost deal with thy people. I seem perhaps using the language of Zion, I seem to be the most ignorant. Well, friends, he takes the fool and writes upon their heart the word of his grace. It's let in by love to their souls. Yea, I have loved thee. Lovest thou me more than these? But we do need right things, friends. We need the unction and savour of that name. Oh, to meet our souls in every state and condition. And we could spate of different conditions, but all are brought to one place. And that's with the hymn writer. Then, if ever my poor soul be saved, 'tis Christ must be the way. Oh, friends, how we do need the Lord in mercy to grant to us his doings and his goings, and a little of this goodness that is in our text. And the world seek goodness, don't they? They want to be better, and the Lord's people want more of Christ. They do need the Lord to come and renew their hearts, and they can let the world go. I hope so. Not so easy to stand out, is it, against the spirit of the world? But are these his doings? Are these his goings? But then I want to come a little further. How it pleases the Lord to grant this goodness. In life's journey, and to grant more than we deserve, and sometimes more than we can ask for. Oh, these words of the Lord, friends, how needful. We read in the scripture, word like apples of gold in pitchers of silver. Something that is very precious. For instance, the word of the Lord like that to you. I mean, the promise. You say, well, I don't know whether it was of the Lord. Well, let me give you a test. Can you resurrect it? Can you say, well, I'll think hard enough and then the sweetness will come? No. You need the Spirit, don't you? You need the Lord to come in his sweet mercy and to grant a little of this goodness to sinners, and it all is found in Christ and his goodness. Another application is his mercy. Oh, friends, how we need that mercy of God. It's not pretended, you know. It's needed. We need it for our souls more than we can ever speak of. For we are sinners. We sometimes sin and go back in thought, or I hope not, into the world, but we're no better at all except for what God may do by his goodness. And then there's another application. It's his love, the moving cause of salvation. Oh, the goodness. That love of God. It breaks forth in boundless streams of grace. My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Friends, that love of God, so rich and free, fixed on his own eternally. Oh, that will do poor sinners good. Why me? Why such a wretch? And yet we cannot say we can even thank God aright without his Spirit. But you know, love is a wonderful thing, isn't it? Stronger than death, stronger than eternal death. And all the sorrows of the way are not to be compared to the love of God shed abroad in the heart. It reminds me of the scripture. I can just turn to it. Romans chapter 5. by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, when we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we glory in tribulations also. I once knew a character that made so much trouble and then pretended it was all tribulation that God would own. Friends, there's something awfully wrong with it. It's something I always remember. Oh, there's something more, friends. My words do good to him that walketh uprightly. But that the word is this, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. Hope maketh not ashamed, because the love, this is it, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. But we need to be right about it, friends. Do not my words do good, him that walketh uprightly. What does it mean? Friends, those that walk humbly, walk in true contrition, godly sorrow, and real repentance, and their hearts are made soft. Oh, we need it. Him that walketh uprightly, you see, it may be said, it is the word of the Lord in the effect of it, in the life, in the profession. Do not my words do good? And that's the fruit on the branch. It's seen after many days, one way or the other. But I want to hasten. Oh, this goodness. I just touch upon it. Do not my words do good? Him that walketh uprightly, and that is in Christ Jesus. Ah, oh, when Christ is all in all. Oh, how precious his word, isn't it? In the goodness of the Lord, to grant the token of it. Show me a token, Lord, for good. Token of thy special love. Show me that I am born of God and that my treasure is above. Oh, these words, you know, there's another word I want to notice, and that is a forgiveness. Father, forgive them. Oh, the divine sound of it. Oh, forgiveness from the cross of Calvary, friends, not from Mount Sinai's flame. And the suffering Saviour brought so low, we think of that psalm, I must leave it shortly. Oh, what a psalm it is. Was he not straitened, the dear man of God, the dear Saviour? Do not my words do good to him that walketh uprightly? In the 22nd psalm we have the straitened soul, the dear Redeemer. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Who can speak of the depths of his suffering and the hidings of his Father's face? No, all for the redemption, salvation, succouring, delivering these sons of Jacob, daughters of Abraham too. In that 22nd psalm it speaks so much of him. We have not time, we must leave it. How straitened he was until he perfected in his righteous obedience every demand of that holy righteous law. And he gave it honour and put to that law the honour of God and the forgiveness of sin to his people. One and the same. Fulfilled it. Bestowed it. In salvation. Without money, price or rewards. That's the Saviour, isn't it? That is beautifully set forth. Friends, what he suffered was for his church and people, to redeem them from a broken law and to bring them upon his goodness. And there's walking it out. Oh, to live upon the bounty, the goodness of the Lord. We do need the spirit of thankfulness. But I must leave a few remarks. My thoughts seem very poor indeed. Do not my words do good, him that walketh uprightly. Must leave it in weariness. Lord, forgive all amiss. Amen.
Willing, Mr. Warren is expected to preach next Lord's Day and Mr. Pocock next Tuesday evening. Let us close with hymn number 13. God's mercy is forever sure, eternal is his name. As long as life and speech endure, my tongue this truth proclaim. Hymn number 13.
Lord, to forgive all amiss. Continue, Lord, that bond of love and spirit of unity. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God the Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with us each. Amen.